I just look at life a lot differently now. I think I'm very grateful for the times that I do feel really good, but it has changed. Like, a lot of my relationships have changed. A lot of, like, the way I look has changed. My hair is a lot thinner than it was, like, a couple years ago. My weight fluctuates, like, all the time. Like, I don't have a lot of energy anymore. So just trying to, like, navigate those things can be really hard because it's, like, I can't do what I did when I was, like, 21 and I didn't have, like, these issues. So just trying to find ways to, like, enjoy life, but in a different way now.
This is Kim, who got diagnosed with Crohn's disease at age 26 in Atlanta, Georgia. In the beginning, doctors dismissed Kim's symptoms as allergic reactions, liver issues, and even IBS. Kim's story is one familiar to many IBD patients. Years of being misdiagnosed before someone finally put the puzzle together. Today, she's sharing the ins and outs of living with Crohn's and what it's like to jump from one flare to the next. This is Talking Shit, presented by Colitis Unfiltered. My name is Frank Tabring, and Kim, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. So Crohn's, let's quickly talk about the timeline of your disease. So when it started and then also what you kind of went through, where you are today, take us to your timeline.
This disease has honestly taken me through hell, but I would probably say back in like 2022, my first symptom was kind of like an autoimmune rash and I didn't know it at the time, but it literally like exploded like all over my face. And I didn't really think anything of it. I just thought it was like an allergic reaction. Went to the dermatologist. They were like, yep, definitely allergic reaction. But it just never went away. And then a little bit after that, it was like all the stomach pain started happening. I was like in and out of the doctors all the time. And they could never tell me like what was going on. They just said, oh yeah, you have IBS. And they're like, oh, but you're also anemic. But you also have like IBS. And I was like, okay, well, what can I do about that? Because like I'm in pain all the time. Like what's kind of going on? And it would kind of come, like, in waves. So, like, there was a couple months where I felt, like, really good. I could eat whatever I wanted. And then there were some months where I was just, like, on, like, bedridden, basically. And it was really, really hard because I just felt like I didn't really have anyone, like, listening to all the pain that I was going through. And I finally went to another doctor. They did, like, an ultrasound, and they said that I had, like, liver issues. And I was like, okay, I'm like 24 years old at this point. And I just turned 28 like a couple days ago. So I was like, how could I have liver issues at 24? Like that actually sounds insane. And they're like, yeah, it's just mild fatty liver. Just like eat clean and you can reverse it. And I was like, okay. And they're like, yeah, and you're also anemic. So just like take an iron pill and you'll be fine. And I was like, okay, cool. Did that for a couple months, reversed my like mild fatty liver, but I was still in so much pain, like stomach wise. And again, it came in waves. Like I was really good 1 month, really bad another month. And I was like, what is going on? I also lost like a dramatic amount of weight. I was like 125. I went down to like 100 pounds. Like it was just really bad. And then after I like reversed my like mild fatty liver, like I started eating a lot more. And again, like I felt super, super good. And then early 2025, I would say, I was just like throwing up like all the time. Like it didn't matter what I put in my system, water, like soup, everything I was throwing up. And again, I lost like a whole bunch of weight. And I was also like in and out of the bathroom like all the time. Like couldn't eat anything, had horrible stomach cramps, like everything. Went to the doctor, wouldn't listen to me again. It wasn't until my mom like pretty much called them and was like, my daughter's literally like dying. Like I'm about to take her to the hospital if like you don't do something about it. Got a colonoscopy done and then boom, they diagnosed me with Crohn's and it's been really hard. Like, I wasn't on medication for a really long time, and I was just kind of, like, I guess in denial about, like, the whole thing. I was like, this, like, can't be happening to me. Like, I'm super fit. Like, I go to the gym all the time. I eat really healthy. Like, why is this happening to me? And then I finally started medication, and, like, I am feeling a lot better, but there are days where I just, again, like, I'll randomly throw up, can't eat anything, can't even stomach water. It's just, like, such a process, I guess. So, yeah.
You mentioned the first like symptoms that you had until you got officially diagnosed, months and months passed, right? Like, did you just see like one doctor and it was like always just the same doctor that told you, oh, it's nothing, and you just trusted that person? Or did you seek another opinion? Or how did you navigate sort of like the doctor patient relationship and not knowing what is going on and nobody really telling you or trying to dig deeper, right, about what you have?
Yeah, I went to multiple doctors. Like, I went to a primary care doctor. She just wrote me off and was like, you need to go see the GI. And I said, okay. Went to go see a GI. She was like, oh, you're just anemic. You probably just have IBS. Like, it, like you're stressed out or something like that, which is causing you to have, like, all these stomach problems. And I'm like, okay. Went to another doctor. I probably went to, like, three or four before, like, one actually took me seriously. And then even after I got diagnosed, my doctor was like, yeah, you can eat whatever you want. Just don't eat anything hard. Like, don't have, like, meat or like hard chicken or like fried chicken and stuff like that. And I was like, you're actually insane. I can't eat anything. Like, I can't even have like rice. Like, everything makes my stomach hurt. Like, you're not helping me at all. So,
and that was the doctor that actually diagnosed you with Crohn's.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And he was telling me, eat whatever you want. Like, it's fine. And I was like, well, I can't even drink water or have mashed potatoes or rice or anything like that. So I really don't know what you're talking about. And my mom was like, not having it. She, like, I wouldn't say she, like, cussed them out, but she was like, how dare you basically, like, treat my daughter like this? Like, this is all so new to her. It's all, like, new to us. Like, how could you do this to us? So, yeah, we ended up finding another doctor, and, yeah, it's been a process.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, right now, today, you know, how are you feeling generally?
I have good days and bad days. I feel like I have a lot more good days now. Just because, like, I'm on Skyrizi, and that's, like, the first medication I started, and I started that, like, February of this year. And so I do feel a lot better, but I still get flares, like, almost every month. And I'm still trying to kind of, like, navigate, like, what's the main cause of it? Like, is it food? Is it stress-related? Is it, like, I don't know. Just trying to, like, figure out what exactly, like, the root cause of it is. But I'm, like, starting to notice that, like, if I take too on, like throughout the day, or if I'm like really stressed out or really emotional, it like the flares start to happen. So I feel better, but I'm still not like 100%.
When you're being pulled into one of these flares, how did you navigate them? First of all, like, how long do they typically last, and what do you do to sort of protect yourself, apply some self-care? How are you experiencing those flares? What are you doing? How are you surviving those flares?
That's a really good question. I'm actually in a flare right now, so it's funny that you say that. I think before medication, my flares would last like at least a week or more, and I would pretty much just be in bed like the whole day. Now it's more like it'll last like a couple days, and like I'll slowly start to like eat again. So just eating like a lot of soft foods. Like, my pantry is just stocked with like cans of chicken noodle soup, so I'm like always prepared. Same thing with like protein shakes, and my heating pad is always next to my bed. I do castor oil packs like every night, so when I do get into a flare, I do them like more often. Like, I'll keep it on like the whole entire day and at night too. And I just like rest and just hydrate as much as I can, and just like try not to stress myself out. I notice like during flares too, I will have like a lot of anxiety, so I try to like keep myself like kind of busy, so I'm not just like laying in bed like, why is this happening to me? So like reading or just finding anything to kind of like distract myself, and just like taking it easy. Like, if the only thing I did today was get up and take a shower, that's like an accomplishment for me.
I think the heating pad is definitely resonating with me, because one of the things that I used to do during my colitis flares is just heating pad, comfortable blanket, and literally I would lie on a comfortable carpet, even, because it's a little bit harder surface, you know, in fetal position, and then just rest, you know, like nothing else matters. It's just getting through the pain. So I can definitely relate to that. Now, going back to your diagnosis, when the doctor told you you have Crohn's, what went through your mind? Have you heard of Crohn's before? Did the doctor explain it to you? Did you have to go and do your own research? Take me a little bit through the process of moment of diagnosis and what went through your mind.
So it's actually funny. I heard of Crohn's like a couple days before my colonoscopy, because my mom is actually friends with a nurse, and it was like telling her like what was going on. And the nurse was like, oh, like she probably has Crohn's. And so I looked it up, and I was like, oh my God, like this is the last thing that I want. And I was like hoping and praying. I was like, I don't care what it is. I just really don't want it to be this. But of course, like I just have bad luck. And I was still kind of like loopy, like from coming out of like my colonoscopy. And they were like, yeah, like she definitely like has Crohn's. And I was just like, of course, like, of course I have Crohn's. Like, I just felt like super defeated. Never even like heard much about it. They were just like telling my mom like, it's hereditary or it's caused by like environmental factors. And I'm like, well, nobody in my family has it. So I'm just like the unlucky one that got this.
So we talked a little bit about what you're doing while you're flaring, but then when you have periods that you're actually feeling good, you're coming out of the flare. And me, for instance, I've been lucky enough to be in remission for a long time. But every time, for instance, for me, if I see a little bit of like a difference in my stool or I have some abdominal pain, there's this fear that creeps into my head, right? Telling me, could this be the next flare, right? Could this be the end of my remission? So when you actually feel good in those periods where you're not necessarily flaring, how do you manage this fear of when does the next flare show up?
It's always kind of in the back of my mind. You know, when I do have periods of like feeling good, I think I'm just so used to getting one like every month. And I'm just like, okay, well, I know it's going to come eventually. So I'm just kind of like anticipating it, which I feel like in a way like isn't good because like your gut and your mind are very connected. Like your gut is like pretty much your second brain. So I feel like just by me saying, oh yeah, I'm about to get one in like the next couple weeks, because I haven't gotten one this month. And it's just like, in a way, like signaling like my body, like, hey, like we listen to you, like words are powerful, like it's gonna happen if you keep saying that. So yeah, I mean, it's always kind of in the back of my mind, and I try to be a lot more cautious about it now, but it still like creeps up on me. So
what I'm hearing is that at least when you're feeling good, you have these thoughts, and I guess it's almost like a negative emotion, right? Because it's tied to fear that it's coming. And you tell me that, well, then it's almost like you're sort of unwillingly manifesting it and it might show up after. Are you also experiencing it the other way around? Let's say that if you're flaring or a flare starting and you try to, I don't know, apply positivity, or you're telling yourself, no, but I'm gonna beat this thing. Are you noticing maybe a connection there as well? Or is it more like the negative thoughts or the negative thinking that always wins?
I feel like it's always the negative that always wins. I do try to stay positive like throughout the thing, and I'm like, okay, like, you know, today I feel a lot better. Let me get up and, you know, at least like let me try to clean my room. Let me try to at least do something. So I feel like it does sometimes, like I am like positive about it sometimes, but I don't think I've gotten to that point yet where I've like can fully grasp like my disease, because I'm still like so new to this like whole thing. And like I was undiagnosed for like 3 years. So this is like a whole new experience for me, but I am trying to like stay positive and like hope that things will work out for me like in the end. But it's hard, like when you're not feeling good and you have stuff that you have to do. Like I'm an adult, like I have my own apartment, I have a cat, like I have all these things I have to do. And then when I get into a flare, I'm like, oh my God, why is this happening?
How do you think, even though you're still early in your diagnosis, you've been experiencing at least symptoms for a long time, how do you think that Crohn's is changing you as a person, or has changed you as a person already?
Yeah, I feel like it honestly has changed like my whole entire life. I just look at life a lot differently now. I think I'm very grateful for the times that I do feel really good. And I'm just like happy when I feel good. And I just am like, okay, like this feels great. Like I'm happy to be alive. Like even though I have something that's like kind of debilitating sometimes, like I am just like grateful for every moment that I feel decent. But it has changed. Like a lot of my relationships have changed. A lot of like the way I look has changed. My hair is a lot thinner than it was like a couple years ago. My weight fluctuates like all the time. Like I don't have a lot of energy anymore. So just trying to like navigate those things can be really hard, because it's like I can't do what I did when I was like 21 and I didn't have like these issues. So just trying to find ways to like enjoy life, but in a different way now. So yeah, I would probably say like everything about like my life has changed. Some good, some bad. You know, I know my body better than anybody else that's like technically like healthy. So I guess that's also like a good thing. And like food wise too, like I can't really eat as much as like a normal person, I guess. So like socially, like body wise, physically, all the above, like my whole life has basically turned upside down.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, actually, you touched on a few things that I wanted to mention as well, but like how do you feel that Crohn's has affected your body image, your intimacy, your relationships? You know, have you seen this sort of like impeding these things, or in what ways has it, or is it having an effect on you?
So I would probably say, like, relationship wise, like, it has been a little bit hard. Just like, doesn't even have to be like romantic, but I love my friends. My like support system is amazing, but they don't really understand what I'm going through. And when I'm like in a flare, or when there's like something that I can't do anymore, it's kind of like, oh dang, but like you were able to do those things before. And I'm like, yeah, but it's different now and I can't really do that. And of course they're super understanding, but you know, I'm just not the same Kim that I was like a couple years ago. And it could be a little frustrating sometimes, like, oh, I can't do those things anymore. Like, maybe they just like won't want to hang out with me or things like that. But they've been very like gracious and amazing like throughout the whole thing. So I guess like when it comes to meeting new people, like if I want to make new friends, or like if I want to go on a date or something, I have to like sit down and explain to them like, hey, I can't like eat there because this is going to hurt my stomach because I have like an incurable stomach disease. And then I have to like sit down and explain to them. And like, if I have to like cancel plans with like a new friend because like I'm not feeling well. So I think like my inner circle understands, but meeting new people can just be like a little bit harder, I guess.
You say your friends are supportive, but there's also a certain lack of understanding. When you talk to people about Crohn's, do you have a feeling that they do at least understand what it is? And also, and I think, because when I talk to a lot of people online, you know, that are not really sure how to navigate this disease, they always wonder, how should I approach this with friends or new people that I meet? What would you answer to them on like how they should express themselves and what they should say about their condition?
That's a tough one. Because it is like a disease that a lot of, like, if you don't have it yourself, like, you can't really explain it to someone. Like, I try my best to be like, yeah, my flares literally feel like I have rocks scraping my insides. And like, of course, they're not gonna know like what that feels like. So I guess I would just kind of explain, like, you know, I'm gonna have my good days and I'm gonna have my bad days, but my bad days are gonna be really bad. And like, if you can't accept and like understand that, then like, we have no business like being friends or like romantic or whatever the case is, because this is something that, you know, you're gonna have like forever. Even if you're in remission, like, you still have it. And so it's just kind of finding the right words to like say, I guess, and just like letting them know, like, I may not look like I have anything wrong with me, but I do. And just because I'm moving around and like doing all these things does not mean that I'm not in pain. So just for them to be like more understanding about that.
Who has been your biggest supporter in this battle so far, and how have they helped you through this disease?
I would probably say like the online community that I've like built like on TikTok. Of course, like my friends and family like are amazing, and I'm not ever going to say that they aren't. But again, it's very hard to explain this disease to somebody that doesn't really know like what I'm talking about. So I think everyone that I've met throughout like this journey has been so like supportive, and it's so nice to be able to like rant and vent, talk about medicine, like all those types of things with like people that just understand. My roommate is also amazing. She may not fully like understand like what's happening, but she does try to like be there for me like when I'm sick, especially because like I lived with my parents like when I was first diagnosed, and my mom was always like running to my room, making sure I was good, trying to find like different ways to like help me. And my roommate has kind of like taken that role. And if I'm not feeling well, she'll make me like a tea, or she's like, you know, is there anything I can get you? So I'm like really grateful to have that. And also like the online community, like as well.
And I'm sure your cat probably as well, right?
Yeah, she's a little spicy, but yeah, I feel like she knows when I'm sick, and she won't leave my side when I'm, you know, going through a flare or something like that. So I love her too.
See, there you go. You know, I know that they can feel it when we're not well. And even though they're buttholes sometimes with their attitude and their character, I feel like they sort of have this protectiveness, like they want to protect us, right? So yeah, it's good. Now, let's talk a little bit about your presence online, what you're doing, the awareness that you raise, you're advocating for yourself and for others with this disease. A lot of people really struggle to talk about it and talk about it openly. And yet here you are, and this is actually how we connected, because I stumbled across your profiles and I was like, wow, you know, you're just really out there and you don't have any filter, and that's perfect. You know, I was like, I gotta talk to this one. So how did you find the courage to do this? Did you just one day wake up and say, you know what, I need to share what I'm experiencing? Or was it like gradual? How did you go from, you know, somebody who's really suffering from this to sharing what you're going through with the rest of the world?
So I actually used to be like a very like, I didn't even want to be like known online, like posting a video and just like listening back to myself. I'm like, ugh, like, I just don't want to do that. Like, I would post like little videos, but I would never speak. I would never sit in front of the camera. Like, I would never do any of that. And then I think like when I got diagnosed, like I said earlier, like I just feel like my whole perspective on like life changed. And I'm just like, you know, life is like too short. I'm already sick. I'm going to be sick for a long time. Even if I get into remission, like I'm still going to have like whatever's going on with me. So I'm just like, I might as well just do whatever I want at this point. Like, I don't really care what anyone has to say about me. Like, I'm going to post about this and that's it. And I didn't really expect it to like get to the capacity that it is now. Because I do get a lot of messages from people that are like, have you done this? Like, have you done this? Like, oh, I've seen your page. Like, you know, this is what I'm going through. And like, it makes me feel good because I'm like, okay, yes, I have this thing that's like going on with me, but like, I'm not the only one. And I love when people reach out to me and I love when people ask me questions because I feel like I'm kind of helping in a way. And even though like I'm not a doctor, I'm just like a girl that has like stomach issues. I just like doing it at this point. And I just don't really care. Like, I just am going to speak my truth. And whoever likes it. And whoever doesn't, then like, it's fine. You don't have to follow me or have to listen to anything I have to say. But I just kind of have the mindset of like, I'm going to do whatever I want in this life because I already feel like a big part of me is gone. So I might as well just make the most of it at this point.
You're talking, as we sort of slowly move to the closing, you are talking to people, you are answering questions, messages that people ask you online. So what kind of advice would you have for friends and family who are supporting someone with Crohn's but may not fully understand it? What would you tell them? How should they act towards that person? You know, how could they best support a person with Crohn's?
I would probably say the number one thing is to, like, be patient, because they're going to have days where they don't feel good and they might cancel plans and they might, you know, like, there's just so much that comes with this. And I don't think people really, again, like, people don't really realize, like, what we go through. So I just think being patient and understanding, like, where they're coming from, and just because they look okay does not mean that they are. So probably be patient, ask some questions, like, let them know that I'm here to support you and like whatever you need. Like, can I bring you soup? Can I take you to your doctor's appointments? Can I take you to your infusions? Like, anything to kind of let them know that you're supportive. Because even if you don't understand, I feel like that would make a world of difference. I know my friends, like when I first got diagnosed, they were sending me like articles. They're like, oh, you should take like these supplements. Like, even doing things like that just like makes me feel good. And like, I'll have friends that are like, oh, like they're doing this research study, like on Crohn's, and they'll like send it to me. So just like little things like that, like kind of doing your own research on the disease itself, like taking them to like finding supplements, like food that they could probably eat. Like, you know, if we're going to go out to eat or something and they're like gluten and dairy free, just being like considerate, you know, just like, oh, they can't eat here, but like maybe we can eat here. So I would say definitely being patient and like considerate of the person, because their whole life like just changed. They don't need to be dealing with all these external factors when they have like an internal war going on like in their body.
You said something that I absolutely believe to be a very good thing, and that is for them to do their own research as well, to educate themselves first. And then I always say, while this is a really great tactic and it's a really great sign of support, just be careful that, you know, you don't overdo it and that you don't necessarily force the knowledge that you discover onto the patient either, right?
Yeah.
Because we might just not be receptive. So it's just, you know, take whatever you learn by yourself with a grain of salt. I think offer the help. And then when we are ready to accept it or to take it, we will let you know, right? And we'll go along with it. So yeah, no, but that's really great. That's really good.
I would wait for all that research talk after they've like marinated in the fact that like they have it, because I know that when I was first diagnosed, like my family especially, they're like, well, you can do this and you can do that. And I'm like, honestly, I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't even want to have this. Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want anything to do with this. But now I'm a little bit more like, okay, like hear them out. So yeah, just wait for them to like grasp that they have the disease and then share all the research and things like that.
Exactly. Give them some time, some space. I think that's the winning formula. And then letting them know that whenever they're ready, they can just come to you and they're there for help. So showing up, I think that's really like a strong part. Yeah, that's really cool. So we talked about the past, we talked about the present now, and I would always like to end with the future. And this is a question that might be extremely difficult to answer, but I do believe that everybody who is going through IBD has some sort of an idea or at least a wish. Do you think that in our lifetime, we'll see a cure to IBD?
I would love to see that, and I don't see why not. I feel like medicine has definitely come a long way. I'm in like in a support group on Facebook, and there are people that have been diagnosed for like years, like, and you know, since they were like my age, like long, long, long time ago, and they've said like, you know, medicine has come a long way. So I don't see why not. I feel like if they're doing like the research like behind it, I don't see why there couldn't someday be a cure to this. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime, but I would still love to be able to see it if it is, but it would be nice.
It absolutely would be. I always say as well, I don't necessarily think that it's going to be in my lifetime, but the one after, I think they're getting, or they will get much, much closer. Yeah, that's true. So we'll leave with a message of hope.
Yeah.
And see what happens. Well, Kim, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I really enjoyed learning about your struggles and also about how you're doing right now. The only thing I can say to you is keep doing what you're doing with your online presence. And I hope that your treatment continues to be effective, and really hope for you that the number of flares will decrease and the number of good days will increase. So thank you so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for today's episode of Talking Shit, presented by Colitis Unfiltered. I'm Frank Tabring, and if this hit home or hit your gut, do us a favor, subscribe to the show and follow us at Colitis Unfiltered on YouTube, Substack, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, and Reddit. We'll see you soon for more inspiring stories from the bathroom floor.